The sermon text this morning taken from today's gospel reading. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on a mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We as Christians have a difficult task before us, a hard task. A lot is asked of us. Believe now the promises of God. Believe now by faith those promises. And trust that when Jesus returns, we will fully possess that very thing which we do not now yet fully understand or comprehend. But as St. Paul writes in the book of Romans, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, first for the Jew, and then also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Faith is not our work. Faith is a Holy Spirit-created gift of God, and it is accounted to us as righteousness. For we are justified, we are reconciled, we are reborn by faith. Faith is a confidence in God and a confidence in His Word that He will fulfill the very promises that He has made to us in our baptisms, in the sacrament of the altar, in His Word, in His call to us. Faith grasps the gracious promise of the forgiveness of sins and trusts that our sins are fully forgiven by God for the sake of Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the law of God on our behalf, and who was the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. As our confirmation students learned this week in school, Christ's active obedience and His passive obedience. He actively fulfilled the whole will and law of God for you in your place, and His passive obedience is that He allowed Himself to be crucified on the cross for the sins of the world. The perfect Lamb of God being the perfect sacrifice for the sin of the world. We mention sin a lot. We have a condition, and our condition is sin. The world has a condition. Every human being has a condition. That condition is sinfulness. Sin is mentioned very often, and this compels us to think about and to understand salvation history. The earth, the solar system, the universe, the cosmos, and all in it was created perfect. Adam and Eve were created perfect. Adam and Eve were created moral beings. They, like us, were given the law of God. "I have given you every green plant for food. And you may eat of any tree of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not eat of that tree, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." At some point after the creation, Satan, an angel, rebelled against God. And by his lies, he seduced Adam and Eve into rebellion against God. In Adam's fall, all creation fell. All creation became bent and broken, unable to fix itself, and humanity's inability to pay for or make restitution to the Creator means that, left to our own devices, our will is bound. I hear many people talk about free will. We have free will in which pizza we would like to order. But when it comes to the things of God, our will is not free. It is bound unto darkness and wickedness and evil. We are born sinful. We are born aliens and aggressors towards our Heavenly Father. We are only capable of rebelling against God, only capable of being God's enemy. And instead of obliterating His creation and starting over, God Himself decided to fix the situation. He chose to send a Savior. God chose to save us through the person and work of His own Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The teaching of the havoc wrought by sin and the redemption of humanity by God is, in the end, the most practical of all theology. For it deals with your right standing before God now, and your full inheritance that will come in the resurrection on the last day when Jesus appears in all His majesty and glory. Faith is the understanding of what you have right now, what is your eternal possession, what is yours even though you do not yet have the full realization of what you grasp a hold of by that very faith. The kingdom of heaven is yours. You are not yet come to the full realization of it. This is what we call the now, not yet. Now you are the children of God. Not yet do you fully realize who you are. Now you are the glory of God. Not yet do you see that full glory of God. It is in the light of creation, fallen, redemption that we see and comprehend the Beatitudes. These teachings that Jesus gave up on the Mount. And the Beatitudes are not about our doing. The Beatitudes are about the condition we are in and what condition leads one to being called blessed by Jesus, who is God in the flesh. You who have faith in Christ, who have come in this life to recognize your utter dependence on God's Messiah for eternal life, you are Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples are at all times in and of themselves poor in spirit. That is, you realize that you have nothing to offer God. You are lowly. You are hungering for God's final victory, the victory that will come upon the earth, the second coming of our Savior. That's your condition now in Christ. You are poor in spirit, and by the power of your union with Christ, you have come to be merciful. You have come to be poor, pure in heart. You have come to be the peacemakers. The Beatitudes do not make ethical demands upon us, and neither are they prescriptions for how you should live your life. Instead, Jesus is pointing out the conditions of those who do not reject the call to follow Him. The Beatitudes are speaking to those people who have absolutely nothing to offer God, and nevertheless are blessed to see the ultimate victory in the end times reign of Jesus Christ. It is to those people that Jesus is speaking. Those are the folks He refers to as blessed, or as we might say, saved. Saved are they because of the reign of heaven and the gifts that that reign belongs to them right now. The poor in spirit. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to Thy cross I cling. The poor in spirit are the spiritually destitute. Those who understand that the condition of their spiritual life is that they are without recourse, without ability to please God. They have nothing to give to God, and that they must have all of their blessings provided by another. Namely, provided by God Himself. They are the ones who have been shaped by Jesus' call to repent of their sins and mercifully implore their God for forgiveness. The poor in spirit assent to the fact that they cannot save themselves and that they do in fact need a Savior. The blessing is that saved now in Christ, the benefits of the heavenly realm are theirs right now. And they are rich in the forgiveness of all of their sins. Right now there is a pleasant present blessing in the reign of God through Jesus, yet there is still sin and evil in the world. There is still sin and evil within each and every one of us. This sin and evil the believer mourns over as they still understand that the full comfort of the promise of God is in the not yet. This is the tension that you live in each and every day. The reign of heaven is now, and it belongs to the poor in spirit, even to those who are persecuted for bearing witness to Jesus Christ. The promise of final comfort, the final inheritance, the filling with God's righteousness, the final mercy, the final beholding of God, the full revealing of your identity as the sons of God are not yet. That will all be made known to you on the last day. As we wait then for the last day, we realize that our lives in Christ will be characterized by mourning, by hungering, by thirsting. And so we live in the tension of the present. The present blessing of what we have been given on the one hand, and the present grief on the other hand. We live in this tension until the time of Christ's final appearing is at hand. The poor in spirit, those who are meek, shall not be given a kingdom in this present world. We look for a kingdom that is not of this world, a resurrection kingdom, a kingdom that is called the new heaven and the new earth, the home of righteousness. We long for the day when our suffering, our mourning, our weeping will be reversed, and we will be granted full joy, full happiness, and full glory. This is our faith condition. We are those who are hungering and thirsting for God to act, and act again mightily. In the meantime, though, we wait. In the meantime, we see things through the eyes of faith. We see that mercy has been shown to us, and this mercy of God is filling us, weak vessels though we be. And if the mercy of God is filling you up, then in faith, of course, it will leak out of you. The mercy that you show others in this life will be imperfect. It will not be perfected this side of heaven. But those who belong to God now and have now begun to be merciful are blessed. For on the last day they will receive mercy in all its fullness. There is the condition of those who are pure in heart. They are not pure in heart because they understand everything about God. They are not pure in heart because they are perfect in this life and all their deeds and all their actions are just wonderfully spiffy and all of that. No. No. They are declared pure in heart because they have begun to repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. They have been given pure hearts. And as disciples, the pure in heart have come to Jesus to seek the face of God. And it is Jesus' promise that on the last day they will indeed see the face of God. The peacemakers are those who bring the gospel into the world. The peacemaker proclaims in the vocation that they work in that the peace of God has brought to mankind through Jesus Christ. As you teach your children about Christ, you are the peacemakers. As you tell others about Christ, you are the peacemakers. As you proclaim Jesus as the Savior of the world, you are the peacemakers. Each of the Beatitudes that are laid out before us are a condition of faith that resides in the seeker after Jesus, and at the same time will only be fully realized on the last day when Jesus returns in glory. Jesus' ministry comes in great power, but not in the way that the world thinks of these things, and not in the way that the world conceives of power. John the Baptizer has been arrested. He will die in prison. The disciples of Jesus will be despised, they will be resisted, they will be hated and persecuted. The Messiah will reign as King of the Jews and the Savior of the world, but He will reign from the cross. And yet still, He will return in all glory and power and might to establish His kingdom forever and ever. And therefore we say, blessed, saved for all eternity are they who receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and the author of their forgiveness. In that Jesus' name, amen.